now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slam of pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really couldn't devour him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change lane. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up. It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam show.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. It is the Pancakes and Power Slam show. Thank you so much for joining us on this 13th episode. This week I am Chris Featherstone, along just about always, but definitely today with Ryan Fuqua.
Oh yeah, 13 episodes in. Got a ways to go to catch up with Raw, but we'll get there.
Yes, yes, and good segue to the flavor of the week this week, which is the analysis of the 1,000th Raw Old School returns that we've seen so far. So. We'll get to that. And just last week's errors, I did a little tribute to the 10th episode. I meant to say it was 2 weeks ago. So, last week was the 12th episode. Three weeks ago was the 10th episode. So episode number 13, and we're looking forward to grow further and further, and definitely send your flavor of the week thoughts. If you have any, send it to cravewrestling@gmail.com, and I will be more than happy to look at them and see if we can make it happen as far as flavor of the week topics. As far as this week's news, new general manager will be announced on 1,000th Raw. There have been just kind of interim general managers. That's been previous general managers. Interesting little idea that they had. Rey Mysterio is expected to return with a push. Randy Orton will still be pushed when he returns due to the lack of roster. Eve's absence is due to being a part of the new NBC series Stars Earn Stripes. And our top story today is WWE changes the name of the Money in the Bank matches to the WWE Championship Money in the Bank match and the World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank match. So as we have mentioned many times, this is definitely the advent of the real hashtag super show. I mean, they have just about demolished anything concerning the brand extension, and I am totally not in favor of it. I can understand why they're doing it, because it's such a depth, it's such a deficiency in the roster, but you know, it's really going to bring some people down as far as pushes is concerned. And the number one person I can think of right now is Cody Rhodes. So it's going to be a little tough to compile everybody on this doing away with the Super Show concept mostly.
Yeah, I mean, Cody Rhodes, man, was he even on Raw yesterday, or I don't know. Kind of like an afterthought. He's getting buried already, so mixing up shows doesn't help.
Sure is, and it's unfortunate because, it's a tough one, because he had a very promising future going on when the split meant something. It's going to be tough to see just who's really going to, because my thing is this, the angles that they're doing right now, the top angles are Triple H and Lesnar, The whole AJ thing with Punk and Brian and Kane, but not really as, you know, going on to Raw. But that's a big win. Then, you know, anything concerning Big Show. So they can make that exclusive to Raw and still, you know, instead of just, you know, making it, merging in between the two shows and making it important. And they definitely could have some time to push some stars from SmackDown. So even more with the 3-hour Raw, it would just make sense to even make it more of a brand split. But I don't know. We'll see how that goes. We'll definitely see how this. What's that?
It's very heel heavy.
Oh yeah, yeah. We definitely have seen that, and Miz is gone shooting for the Marine, and he'll be back, and then Wade Bear to be back, and there's some allegations at Orton.
Yeah, Orton. Oh,
he may be a heel when he comes back too. He wants to be a heel, but they're trying. They want to push him as a face, just because of their roster being so heel heavy. So, but he's been complaining and things like that, and he may get his way. So we'll see how that goes. So on to Raw. Before that, we definitely want to give some shout outs to Eric Cross, who's originated the Pancakes and Power Slams theme song. Definitely catch him on iTunes, Eric Cross. And of course, our show sponsor, WrestleManiacs, hit them up on Facebook, facebook.com/WrestleManiacs. Definitely a very good Facebook page to be current with different indie promotions as well as top stories. On to Raw, we got the AJ backstage segment. She was basically just talking about the triangle square, I guess, that she's in. And then the camera shot basically turned her to three mirrors, a 3-in-1 type of mirror, which is interesting. Then the first match was Daniel Bryan against Kane and CM Punk. Daniel Bryan took the fall. It was actually an elimination match, so CM Punk defeated Kane initially because more AJ coming out and skipping to distract Kane, and then eventually they after CM Punk went over Kane, Daniel Bryan kicked CM Punk and definitely and won to set it up for a solo match at Money in the Bank. I'm glad Daniel Bryan took this one. It was long overdue, and there's been a lot of speculation that the past two pay-per-views, No Way Out and Over the Limit, he was very, very highly considered to taking the WWE title. Now, you know, since we are seeing another solo match between Punk and Bryan, it would only make sense for Daniel Bryan to be the WWE champion this time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But first, I wanted to say about Vicky opening the show. I did like this Raw and the matches that they had her make, but I just wanted to say, man, that heel heat she got. I definitely believe Vicky has been the most consistent heel in the WWE for the past 5 years.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. She's not even a wrestler, or I'm sorry, a superstar. But, getting back to the AJ thing, putting a lot of stock in AJ. Big storyline push for her. Who would have ever thought, like, 6 months ago, 3 months ago, you know? Like, really, AJ? That's still crazy to me. She may have some legitimate nutso in her because she felt it a little too well. But, and then the triple threat, it's good. Don't get me wrong. I like seeing these guys. They have not let me down once with their matches. I'm okay with it. It's expanding, you know, stretching the storyline out. But just need something. They got to shock me here soon before they lose me. Mm-hmm. There's only so much, you know. Like, this has been going on for a while. Now I need something to actually shock me. There's no shock. There hasn't been a shock in this whole storyline yet. So I'm guessing SummerSlam or, I mean, Money in the Bank. Like, which one does it come to an end, you know? What would you think?
Well, there's speculation that this is very unfortunate. I am totally not okay with this, but there's some speculation that CM Punk and John Cena is going to headline SummerSlam. Is the exact same main event as last year. You know, who does that unless you are just not really good to, unless you're just lazy as a creative staff. And with that being said, if I hope it doesn't pan out, but if it does pan out, it just makes sense for John Cena to win the Money in the Bank and Punk to keep it. So I really hope that doesn't pan out. It seems like at the end of the day, Punk will just, you know, go over with all of this feud and go on. But I really hope that the tables turn. I really hope that CM Punk before Money in the Bank talks to AJ and tells her, like, you know, I dig crazy chicks, but I think you're taking a little bit too far. And that causes her to maybe inadvertently cost Punk the title at Money in the Bank. That would make the most sense, especially, you know, going into my dream would be for Daniel Bryan to have the title, Chris Jericho to win the Money in the Bank, and then Daniel Bryan and Chris Jericho at SummerSlam. That would be a classic. But, you know, who knows? It could go those two ways, but you know, knowing the level of predictability of the WWE, doesn't seem like it's going to, like you said, the shock value or the shock element. I don't see that happening, you know, within the feud.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Yeah, it is. Then Vicky books Alberto Del Rio and Dolph Ziggler to a number one contenders World Heavyweight Championship match. Then we saw Big Show defeat Brodus Clay. Brodus Clay ends his near 6-month streak. He came back as the Funkasaurus in January the 9th, I believe, the second Raw of the year. I believe it's a good move, actually. I think that Brodus Clay's losing can help him because, of course, he's not going to win every single match with every single person. And I mentioned this in an article that I wrote today on Bleacher Report about the 5 questions coming from Raw, which is most likely a weekly thing that I'll do. One of the questions that I posed was, is Brodus Clay's knee his ticket to Jobberville? Because I definitely can see someone like a David Otunga pulling a cheap victory using the knee, just like the Big Show did. So it didn't necessarily hurt Brodus Clay. I think how they did the fall was good. Brodus Clay tried to pick up Big Show, so it wasn't like necessarily dominant. He tried to pick up Big Show and couldn't hold him up with the knee and just kind of, you know, trampled under him. So I think it was a good idea that they did that, and we'll see where Brodus Clay goes from here.
My thing was, though, that they didn't – I didn't hear him publicize that it was his first loss. Hmm. Like, I know they weren't trying to set him back too much, but at least mention it to kind of fuel the fire, you know, or
mm-hmm.
make Big Show just seem a little bit more dominant. But I don't know. It's just a slow, lazy beat down. At one point, I was like, man, are they trying to write Brodus Clay off for a while? I got a little nervous. I love the WMDs from out of nowhere by Big Show. I love
good camera
it.
Shots. Yeah.
Yeah. I love when he catches it just out of nowhere. Pow,
yeah.
Right in the face. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't pull those
yeah.
punches. They said, what, 15-inch fists, so.
Yeah, yeah, those skillets, as I believe JR used to refer them to. Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think the WMDs from the blind side, you know, camera spots. I think those are pretty interesting. It enhances the unpredictability of Big Show's character. I'm still not all the way sold, just because I'm just. With Big Show anyways, but I think as a heel right now, it's a good move for him. I'll, out of any position and what they need right now as far as the top heel per se, they have a lot of heels, but you know, since The Miz left for a while and Wade Barrett's gone and things like that, you know, I guess Big Show would suffice. I don't see him going any further than just being a dominant heel. But I guess, you know, he's used to knowing how to put people over. So then we saw Bob Barker's 1,000th show moment, which was just kind of a throwaway segment to me. One thing that I did get from that was It was good to see Chavo Guerrero back. As far as, you know, on the video, Chavo Guerrero reference. I was a Chavo fan for quite some time. Just the Guerrero family as a whole is a legacy in and of itself. And you know, just miss Chavo on WWE TV. He is wrestling for Ring Ka King, the Indian, the promotion in India that's founded by TNA. So, you know, he's doing some things there. But at the same time, you know, it would be good to see him back on WWE TV.
Oh, yeah. Just a wrestling classic, if you will. So, not opposed to that at all. I forgot about Santino being a contestant out there, so
mm-hmm.
that was pretty silly, too.
yeah, it was. Then we saw Brock Lesnar answering, he's supposed to answer Triple H's challenge next week. Something else I wrote in my article. To me, I'm going to say don't expect Brock Lesnar to appear live. I don't, you know, he's limited dates and the 1,000th episode is, you know, 4 weeks away, and you know, don't expect Brock Lesnar to be live. To me, it would either be a video segment or Heyman would come out again and maybe read a letter. So that didn't really intrigue me because I was trying to listen carefully. And not once did I hear Brock Lesnar will appear live. I heard Brock Lesnar will give his answer next week. So a little interesting little play on words that, you know, just in case, you know, he doesn't appear live, they didn't really shoot themselves in the foot, so to speak.
Yeah, going out of their way to not say that he'll be there, so don't want to waste those dates, man. Can't waste those dates. And if
right.
he's via satellite, I'm like, is that half a date? I don't know. Is that, you
right.
know, you do two
yeah.
via satellites and count as one, or but
right.
I don't know, man. It's even if he did show up next week, I'm not impressed with this. I thought I would be, but just the way they're going about this, man, it's. We'll talk about it when it gets closer, but yeah, maybe I'll be more excited then. But as for right now, they're going about it all too wrong. Just you got two suits in the ring, and Triple H is out here saying I want to fight, but there's I mean it suit to suit, talking it out. So whatever. Well, I'm sure we'll have much to say leading up.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't think I ever. Paid attention to that, you know, element, Triple H in suit, you know, still being the quote-unquote cerebral assassin. I don't think it works that you know, that well. So feel free to call in, share your Raw thoughts. We'll be taking some calls here soon, if applicable. 347-884-8452 is the number. Once again, the number is 347-884-8452. And, of course, just load up the chat room here. And if you say a comment that is worthy to be said on live on air, we will definitely give you a mention. Then we go on to the AJ and Kane backstage segment. And, Kane basically tells her that he's a monster and that he doesn't want to, you know, be involved with AJ. So kind of unofficially puts Kane out of the Daniel Bryan and CM Punk angle, seemingly, since they are definitely having a one-on-one match coming on Money in the Bank. So we saw where Kane is going to go. We'll make a mention of that later. At the end of the day, it's like, what did that do, or what did it prove? Did it help AJ? You know, did it make her? You know, did it help her as far as her gimmick is concerned? So, once again, man, to me, it's just Kane just gets the short end of the stick, and that's kind of been going on for the past nearly 15 years of his career, unfortunately.
Yeah, and way too much talking for Kane in this segment. Like, that's, I don't know. They didn't need to have him and her interact with conversation. Like, the way he was looking at her and cocking his head sideways like a dog would when they don't understand something, now that's fine. But the as for the talking, that's too much. Too much talking for Kane.
Yeah, without question, I agree with that. Then we go on to Santino defeating Jack Swagger. Now, I'm going on a bit of a rant on this. happy that Santino beat Jack Swagger. Jack Swagger's not really doing anything with his career. But here's my thing. Love Santino. Everybody who watches the show every week and knows me knows that I love Santino. Comic relief, best part of his character, of his whole career since he came in 2007. So, love him. Love Santino. My only thing is this. I am still one of those guys who believes in the prestigiousness of the championships. No championship, in my opinion, and just it would make sense just for a general consensus to believe this too. No championship should be just on someone and they still are jobbers, or they still just kind of don't defend it, you know, things of that nature. And Michael Cole gave two statistics that just really cringed to me. He said, firstly, that this is the first time of Santino defending the title since April the 16th, and that he won it on March the 5th. So it's been over 2 months since he's defended the title. And, you know, back in the day, there was a 30-day rule. Like, if you don't defend it in 30 days, it'll be vacant. So I guess that's tossed out the window. But it's just, why, though? And the thing is, he won it March the 5th, and I think it was some type of return match, maybe against Jack Swagger. So if I'm not mistaken, he's only defended it two or three times since he's had it. And for someone to have a title of the U.S. title for over two and a half months, nearly 3 months, that's just a little over top for me, you know. And
March 5th, that's four pay-per-views.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly. Because
wow.
He at WrestleMania, he did the whole 10-man, you know, Team Laurinaitis versus Team Long. He led Team Long next one was Extreme Rules. I don't think he even had a spot on that one, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, he may have been on a pre-show where he defended.
The pre-show, The Miz. Yeah, pre-show against The Miz. He beat The Miz for the U.S. title. Yeah, he defended against The Miz. So that was April. And then May was over the limit. And I don't know what. I don't know. I don't even remember what he did at Over the Limit. I know he didn't defend the title. I'm sorry. Cole said the first time defending on Raw, but he did defend it. He did defend it at the pre-show, and then last pay-per-view, No Way Out was the tuxedo match, and he wasn't even. It wasn't even for the U.S. title, so. Tough. It's tough for me that they, are looking or booking the U.S. title to be like this. It's being buried. I'm just not a fan of it at all. Love Santino, but they have to do something with this U.S. title, like, now. I actually, since they're so not on the split anymore, NWA, WCW, they've got the tenure, to me. They've got the prestige. Why not put it on Cody Rhodes? You know what I mean? And it, to me, it would still be kind of a it would kind of be lateral, but at the same time, it would be a little bit higher just because, he would have – he could have laid claim to say that he had the Intercontinental and the U.S. title. So it would be a bit of a promotion if Cody Rhodes had it. It would be a lot better than what he's doing now. So I would be fine. Even Alberto Del Rio, honestly. If he was the U.S. champion, I'd be fine with that too. So the point is they have to do something with the U.S. title.
Oh, yeah. And I've said it a long time ago. That Santino can work without the U.S. title. I mean, like we said, it's a comedy relief spot. He doesn't need to be. Well, I want to see him and Ricardo Rodriguez have some fun out there, but not at the U.S. title expense. So
right.
That's whatever. But I mean, you talked about Santino. I want to talk about Swagger here. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I thought he was going to actually win it, because I figured. Santino wasn't doing anything with the title, so why not move it off of him? And Swagger, is supposed to be moving along. But that wasn't the case. So at this point, I'm just hoping Swagger can keep up in the old rat race on the roster, man, because, wow, I don't know what they do for him next. I know that they said, even during the commercial break, I read that Triple H came out and pedigreed him, so that's really not good.
Oof. Yeah, I heard about that too. And it's even more unfortunate.
You've won dark matches, that's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's more. And once again, there's that super show to you. You're looking at more people. Like Jack Swagger's on that list too. He's going to be buried in the. Merge of brands again. So it's unfortunate. We'll see if the 3-hour Raw helps anything, but I definitely doubt it with people like Jack Swagger. So then we go to the Cena in-ring promo, his quote-unquote historical announcement. His Star Wars little impersonation and names were pretty funny. I've admitted that John Cena is good on the mic, and I am a not a fan at all, but I'm a rational Cena antagonist is what I called myself. And I tell you what, I mentioned this on the show after Mania. The only thing it took, if John Cena would have beat The Rock,
yeah,
it would have been it for me. I would have been a Cena fan, but he didn't. So I'm back on my Cena ways. But especially after this year, just main eventing, with the exception of Royal Rumble, main eventing every pay-per-view so far. That just further bury Cena to me. But I will admit that his promos were good, and his Star Wars little impersonations were good. And then this is where Chris Jericho returns. Okay, so Cena enters Money in the Bank. Chris Jericho enters Money in the Bank, and then Vicky comes out and actually says that there are going to be two Money in the Bank matches, one for the WWE and one for the World Heavyweight Championship. One, the WWE match will be former champions, and it is Kane, The Big Show, Chris Jericho, and John Cena. Then she books a match for the main event of the night between John Cena and Chris Jericho. A lot in this segment, but I just want to highlight two things. One, I have no idea why this would be the spot that Chris Jericho returns. It just seems like they know Chris Jericho can have ridiculous face pops, and they continue to try to bridle that. Because just imagine the whole Jericho and Stephanie thing from the early 2000s. Just imagine if Vicky was in the ring getting all of her heel heat, or all of her excuse me heel heat, and she announces John Cena. And then, because we didn't need the whole historical announcement thing, or we just didn't need it. And she announces John Cena, Big Show, and Kane as four participants. And she's in the ring garnering a ton of heat. And then the lights go off. Countdown comes back. Pyro. Just imagine how that would have blew that arena out the roof. They are already chanting Y2J when he came into the ring. I mean, he was still getting immense face pops, even when he wrestled John Cena. So it just seems like they're just trying to bridle Chris Jericho and just kind of limit him to a certain level now, because they may know that, you know, he's going to leave, and so they don't want to elevate him that much. It just seems like it's something. I'm just not a big fan of it at all.
Yeah, me neither. That pop was amazing. As soon as the lights went dim, I was like, oh yeah, that's right, he's coming back, and I got excited. But then I was like, oh, he's gonna be healed, darn it. You know, I was upset. But good promo by Cena. Other than that Yoda voice, I don't know. That was bad. But all around that whole segment with the good Cena promo, the Jericho return, it was my favorite segment of what I felt was a good night of Raw. So, and going back to, like I said, Vicky being the most consistent heel, I don't know if they were to choose her as GM. I'm sure they're not. I don't know. I think I wouldn't be that upset, because her character has gotten so... It's not that old Vicky married to Edge thing where it was just, in the beginning where she didn't really have it. Now I think she gets it more and she's better at her character. And then the last thing here, Jericho said he invented Money in the Bank. I got me thinking... I thought Carlito brought it up, but wasn't in that original match. Like, they tried to sweep it under the rug that he didn't bring it up. I don't know if you remember, or if any listeners out there can call in and tell us, but I could have swore Carlito had came out one week and said, I have a concept about Money in the Bank, and didn't really get to explain itself or something, and then he wasn't in that first Money in the Bank match. I don't know why that's coming to my that came to my memory, but
I know that Chris Jericho did initially mention it because it was kind of like per the office of Eric Bischoff. I know what you're saying. I know what part that you're saying. For some reason, I thought that was the second year of Money in the Bank, because he kind of wanted to revive it, and he was in a I think that he it was placed in the qualifying match. It was either Ric Flair or Shelton Benjamin that he lost to, because I think he revived it, and then yeah, they placed him in a match, and he didn't. He just kind of got swept under the rug about that. So I'm not sure, but you know, if any, like Ryan just said, if anybody wants to call in and let us know that, or put it or say something about it in the chat room, just let us know. 347-884-8452 is the number, but yeah, I think it may be that. At the end, you know, we'll find out, and if we don't get the answer today, you know, we'll
yeah,
do it next week.
Yeah, remember him bringing it up, and then he wasn't even in the match. So
yeah, that was
that we do agree on.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Then we saw the return, 15 years, Psycho Sid defeats Heath Slater. I'm telling you, man. I tell you what. I like Heath Slater now. At first, I was like, what is going on? I just, you know, Heath Slater has just been, really, ever since NXT, it's just been a bore to me. But I tell you what, this to me, even counting his championship runs with Justin Gabriel, I believe that this is the best moment of Heath Slater's career, because he gets his own specific Raw spot. He, you know what I mean? He never got that opportunity, you know, even being in the Nexus or the Core. I mean, you know, I think that this plays to his character really good, and he brings out the legends that we'll talk about at the Flavor of the Week. This week's Cycle said he sets it up pretty well too. He set up Vader pretty good, and he was talking about he's the master and the ruler of the world and things like that, and Cycle Sid comes out. You know, I might get some tomatoes or some stones thrown at me on this, but I wasn't really pumped about Sid's return. I don't know. I mean, I've seen some articles on Bleacher Report and some people, you know, saying that he looked good and things like that. It's not about, and if so, it's still not about looking good. It's, you know, they marked out because of the whole Psycho Sid thing. Now, Powerbomb was well executed, but at the same time, I just was like, it didn't spark me at all. I mean, it was good to see him. I know that he had some, no shows with some independent events. One specifically, he was supposed to go against Matt Hardy some time ago, and then Jay Lethal at the last minute he came in and filled it in and cut a pretty funny Sid impersonation promo. And he had some no show incidents the past year or so. But, you know, of course he's going to appear on Raw. And he actually made a comment that this is the greatest moment of his life right now. So, I mean, it's good to see him in that sense. But it just didn't really thrill me that much, seeing Psycho Sid back. I don't know why. I can't really place my finger on it. Glad to see Legends back. I like what they're doing with this whole thing. But Psycho Sid, I didn't mark out like I did with Vader, so I don't know exactly why that was the case.
Psycho Sid, I liked it. Just not your typical legend, and they're doing good on these comebacks. So, and like we said, we'll talk about that more in Flavor of the Week. But the like you said, the powerbomb, don't do many power bombs anymore. So, and that was aggressive, man. So that was really actually crazy to see. But I know you talked about Heath Slater, how you know, good spot for him. But I wonder how he takes his spot. I wonder if he's like, oh yeah, you know, I got a good spot, my own segment. Or is he just like, I don't want to do this.
Another week.
I mean, yeah, knowing it's going to be over after July 23rd. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I just wonder how he takes it. I like his spot. It's cool. I think he's the perfect guy for it, but I just wonder how he takes it.
Yeah, that's a good observation there. Then we saw Dolph Ziggler against Alberto Del Rio. Now, there's a pro and a con about this. The pro was and I went back to a few pole matches that I remember, but this to me was the best pole match that I've ever seen. And I've seen, you know, the whole course of pole matches, or, you know, flag on a pole match. The Bret Hart flag on the pole, I think it was like an 8-man or 10-man in Canada. That was probably one of the most memorable ones. But as far as athleticism and things like that, this was definitely number one in my book. The con is, why, though? Why did they do it if at the end of the day, or at the end of the match, Sheamus comes out, pulls some random promo, and per the offices, now it's both of them because they were trying to grab the contract. I mean, that made absolutely no sense to me. And why even have the match if, you know, why even have the match if there was, at the same time, there was no winner and both of them won. So I never thought that could actually exist in a pole match of any sort.
Yeah, definitely agree with you. No winner, but they both won. I don't know, man. They could have done more here with this. You're right. I'll agree. You know, it's cool to see these two in that type of match, but I feel like it could have done more. There should have actually been somebody go up and grab it and, you know, just have a one-on-one. But I'm good with the triple threat. Since we know Sheamus will retain his title on SmackDown, I just hope it's Alberto Del Rio that takes the fall instead of Ziggler. That's why I'm okay with the triple threat.
I can see the logic in that for sure. Yeah, then we saw CM Punk, versus Daniel Bryan announced. I mentioned that before, and another CM Punk and AJ backstage segment. That, you know, we'll see what that leads to. Then we saw the Mick Foley 1,000th show moment was the This Is Your Life episode, which is definitely one of the most memorable Raw moments during its tenure. Then we saw AJ winning the Divas Battle Royal, and she does Yes Chance. I don't see why they just don't give her the title. Hands down, she is the saving grace of the Divas division. She is the lifeblood of the Divas division right now. I mean, unfortunately, I've mentioned this before. It's unfortunate. I like Layla, but she is just flat, you know, as far as the pulse, as far as any type of heartbeat for this this Divas division. She's nearly flatlined it. And, you know, Karma's ready to return now, but at the same time, they're doing this, I mentioned this before, they're supposed to be doing this, you know, Hogan, Andre the Giant type of thing with Beth Phoenix and Karma, but it doesn't make sense if you lose two pay-per-views in a row clean. And against Layla, which is a good wrestler, good gimmick, but at the same time, doesn't make any sense. So it kind of leaves us wondering, like, what does this lead to at the end? And I really think that since AJ won the Divas Battle Royal and she is the diva of the Divas division, it would just make sense to put it on her and still have a Karma, Beth Phoenix. That would be very interesting. Two Divas matches on a pay-per-view. I don't know when the last time that happened. So
yeah,
Maybe a AJ versus someone. Maybe even, you know, her and Vicky was getting into it. Maybe that, or, you know, of course you got your Natalia and people of that sort. So, you know, maybe AJ versus Natalia, and then Karma versus Beth Phoenix. I doubt that we'll see that, but it would make sense to get more credibility to the Divas division again.
Oh yeah, and I like that they brought out the throwback, that throwback music, that Divas theme when Vicky was taking off her robe there. I don't know if you remember that. Any time there was some type of Divas dancing or anybody dancing, there was always that same old theme.
Yeah, that was funny. Then the last segment of the night, match of the night was John Cena against Chris Jericho. Cena beats Jericho by disqualification when the Big Show interferes, and kind of a little face-off between Show and Jericho. And Jericho does a heel antic, and we see a post-match attack by Show on Cena, and the show ended with a colossal clutch. I guess this is continuing Big Show's dominance as far as what they're doing with him, but it could have ended better to me than this. Chris Jericho basically gets buried again. It seems like Cena's his kryptonite, because I don't know if he's ever beat Cena in a singles match. I know that one time I was so upset that I was keeping track, and I think that he beat him in a tag match before, but I don't ever remember Jericho beating Cena in a 1-on-1 singles match. There might be once, I doubt twice, but there might be once that happened. So I don't know what they're doing with Jericho. I just don't understand what they're doing. And like I said, it seems like they're bridling him because, you know, they're kind of, you know, he's due to leave whenever he wants, anytime soon. And if he wants to, he wants to. And so they're just kind of doing it. And to me, it's like, why even have him there? You know what I mean? Like, he's not really enhancing people's career by his heel run now. I mean, he really hasn't done anything for Punk or Sheamus, the people that he's, you know, jobbed to this year. So, I mean, turn him face, man. I mean, I wrote an article last week. There's some reports about him going face when he came back. Maybe, you know, his interview with Vicky Guerrero, maybe that just kind of teased it a little bit. Maybe we'll see it. I really hope so. But something has to be done. And just the ending with this, showing Big Show's dominance, I doubt that he'll take the case anyway. So, kind of left me confused.
Yeah, I thought he would have was going to run back in and help Cena and, you know, like beat up Show or something. That was like my last chance of hope for the face turn at the end of the night. But, of course, we didn't see that. I couldn't get too excited for this match just because you said it, like Cena is Jericho's kryptonite. So I figured Cena was going to win. I didn't think about Show coming out and making Cena look vulnerable, which was actually shocking. And Big Show, man, that colossal clutch, as they call it now. I don't know if you noticed, but there was another time he was heel, and this was a long time ago, just went to the old camel clutch, or I'm sorry, colossal clutch.
Mm-hmm.
So that must be his go-to heel submission move.
Yeah, and it's a good one too. You know, I'll give it to him. He's definitely a dominant looking move for someone like the Big Show. The only thing I hope, you know, don't happen is I wouldn't want to be in that clutch, because you know, Big Show, he you know, he salivates a lot, and he, you know, just kind of droops some saliva, and especially when he talks, and I would probably be doused with Big Show's saliva when he does that clutch, so I wouldn't want to be a recipient of that. So then we go on to SmackDown last week. Tay Long interrupted by the Big Show. Before we go, that, you know, like I said, feel free to call in 347-884-8452. We'll be going over SmackDown quickly and Impact Wrestling, and then we'll go to our ROH results and then the flavor of the week. Tay Long interrupted by Big Show. He tossed Big Show tossed himself in the Money in the Bank match. Then he was interrupted by Brodus Clay, and Brodus Clay gets an advantage on Big Show until David Otunga attacks Clay. Show kicks David Otunga in a few times and then gets him in that patent WMD that we talked about. Otunga mocks Clay's dances, and that was interesting. Does the Carlton. I noticed that. It was pretty funny. Ryback defeated Frank Venezia and Jarrett Wachler. Yoshitatsu, Mick Foley, Vicky Guerrero, and Great Khali backstage segment. Guerrero announced what we saw yesterday about being the GM. Daniel Bryan's favorite Ross moment was Marty Jannetty defeating Shawn Michaels for the IC title. That was a little face moment there. I definitely remember that title, that moment of Raw in 93. Alberto Del Rio defeated Christian, post-match attack by Cody Rhodes. Kane defeated Daniel Bryan, and AJ was the special guest timekeeper and distracted by ringing the bell a little earlier. Then we saw Mick Foley segment interrupted by Heath Slater. Then Zack Ryder defeated Heath Slater. And then Mick Foley, Zack Ryder, and Damian Sandow backstage segment, which may lead to a possible feud. Primetime Players defeated the Usos. And then after the No Holds Barred DVD release on July 3rd, they went back to Primetime Players being attacked backstage by Primo and Epico. Then the random Santino sign segment. We'll get back to that in a minute. Sheamus defeats Dolph Ziggler, and then Vicky is with Ziggler to keep his heel heat. And that match, a few things from SmackDown that I want to highlight here. Ryback defeating handicapped people, please stop. It's two, and what's next? Three? I don't understand. It's just really getting to me. But one thing I did see, though, was the crowd was into the whole Feed Me More thing now. He was doing the whole cyborg arm flaps and doing the whole Feed Me More, and the crowd was saying that with him in sync. So that really kind of surprised me a little bit. So maybe they'll continue that. And then another thing I wanted to highlight here was the Rikishi reference by Michael Cole during the Usos match. I don't know. I don't think he's signed to a Legends contract, but it would be nice to see Rikishi back at the 1,000th episode of Raw. And then No Holds Barred DVD release. They made it a big deal and did a whole little segment about it. I mean, hey, does that help TNA? You know, promoting Hulk Hogan in that way, and that really, really shocked me that they would do that and spend some time on SmackDown for No Holds Barred. And then the like we were saying before with the whole U.S. title thing, why in the world do you come out and do and have just a random is this still a commercial? We turned on the cameras. You know, Santino sign segment. It was just absolutely awful. I just didn't like it at all. As far as the whole U.S. title thing that I talked about, and then lastly, I noticed, and it's something that just came to my mind. Now, Dolph Ziggler's shirt says, first of all, this is his fourth loss to Sheamus in the past month or so, month and a half. But Dolph Ziggler's shirt says, quote, "It ain't showing off," and the back says, "If you back it up," okay? "It ain't showing off if you back it up." But Dolph Ziggler's nickname is the Show Off. So does that mean he doesn't back it up? I mean, like, what? I don't, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, I just something that just kind of came to my head, like, okay, your name is a Show Off, but you said it's not showing off if you back it up. So that's kind of contradictory there. So interesting little tidbit that I picked up. Maybe you need to change the quote on your shirt or change your nickname to Mr. Back It Up. So. Which, yeah, and your windows go flying there, and I don't endorse any of them. So, we'll see you. We'll see how long that shirt lasts. But maybe they should consider changing that that quote if his name stays to Show Off.
Yeah, he should, and he should have won that match. Actually, there was nothing to lose for Sheamus. I mean,
right.
We still would have been looking at Sheamus like, yeah, you're still world heavyweight champ, because it wasn't a world title match. So, yeah, he should have won. I mean, it would have just, fueled the fire more. Sheamus is still on the roll. He's still over with everybody. It would have helped out Dolph. I don't understand it. But, yeah, other than that, Primo, man, he really popped AW in the face.
Oh,
that back segment. That was that was loud too. Wouldn't mind seeing Ryder and Foley working together again. Even if Foley was just in Ryder's corner, I think I would be a Zack Ryder fan again because I actually enjoyed their interaction. So I think it'd be cool, both Long Island guys. Why not try it out if Foley doesn't have anything going on? What else? Still bullying Vicky. WWE needs to step up and be a star, as they say. So, and then my last thing here, Brodus Clay, when he was coming out with the Funkadactyls and everything, I thought to myself, like, man, is he the PG era Godfather? I it felt that way to me on SmackDown. Like, he really felt like, you know, just a watered-down PG-era Godfather.
Wow.
Yeah.
I never noticed that. Yeah, that's really, really funny.
It's always cool when you get book quotes on a Shucky Ducky Quack Quack. Can't remember why he said it, but I do remember hearing him say it.
If I'm not mistaken, it was when the Funkadactyls before they went in the ring, their whole little spot on the apron that they do. Yeah, you're right. Shucky Ducky from Book is always a saving grace of SmackDown. So kudos to Booker T for. And I'll tell you what, man, his commentary gets a lot of criticism, man. But I don't know, maybe since Book is one of my. He's one of my all-time favorites. I don't know. I was critical of him in the beginning, but I love Book on the mic. I love him in commentary. It looks like he's really honed his craft, and that's the type of diversity that he brings at the announcer's table, so I'm cool with it.
I liked it from day one when they put him behind the table. I don't know. Maybe it's just my good fan in me, you know, giving slack, but I mean, I've enjoyed it from day one.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly think him and Josh Matthews could do SmackDown by themselves.
I agree.
That may be a bold statement, but I really think so.
I agree. I definitely don't see why that wouldn't help. Honestly, you know, if they want to stick with three, I would, you know, I don't think you are too big of a fan, but I didn't mind Stryker either. So if they want to have three there,
I like Stryker's thing.
I like him. I like because he does good play by play. I like his historical references too. He's you can tell that he's like an avid wrestling fan, you know. And I remember when he marked out when Booker T came to the return at the Royal Rumble. That was probably what my favorite Max Stryker moment. It was great. And so I like that. I like that element of wrestling, you know, analysis, a wrestling commentary when you really, you know, dive yourself into the product. So I like that. And I wouldn't be opposed to that three-man team at all. So then we go to Impact Wrestling. Open fight night for this month. We get a Hulk Hogan promo. He calls out Austin Aries, and Aries makes the decision. He relinquishes the title under his created option C, which is every year the X Division champ can do the same as him, going to Destination X pay-per-view every year, interrupted by Bobby Roode. And Mr. Anderson defeated Christopher Daniels. All of these, it was mostly a combined with the Bound for Glory series. And, of course, if anybody out there doesn't know, Open Fight Night is when wrestlers call out other wrestlers and they have to accept. So all of the people who was in the match, one of them called the other out. Brick eliminates Madison Rayne. Another thing about Fight Night is at least one title is defended every week, including D-Von's tag team title, which was not defended, interestingly enough, this week, but it was supposed to be defended every week. So I don't see how. It seems like they're just kind of revoked that because he didn't defend it this week. Kurt Angle defeated Robbie E. Magnus defeated AJ Styles. Tara defeated Taylor Hendricks. They also have a gut check challenge during Open Fight Night. Taylor Hendricks was getting a lot of pops. I usually am current or knowledgeable of the gut check wrestlers. Familiar with Alex Silva and Joey Ryan, but I didn't know who Taylor Hendricks was, but she looked good and had a lot of cheers. So I would imagine her getting a contract. We saw a backstage segment with Bully Ray and Joseph Park. James Storm defeated Samoa Joe, and then Brick eliminates ODB. Pope defeated Bully Ray with abyss interference. Miss Tessmacher defeats Mickey James, who was chosen to be the opponent for her for the Knockouts title. Jeff Hardy defeats RVD, and then finally the Dixie and AJ segment after weeks and weeks, you know, wondering if they, you know, were seeing each other and things like that, and even had Dixie's husband punch AJ, and they was holding Daniels and Kazarian holding an envelope and showing video and things of that nature, and it all culminates to an addict coming out and saying that Dixie and AJ was helping her. And then Daniels and Kazarian coming out and getting beat up by AJ. So, I tell you what, man, I'm a fan of TNA. I'm a fan of TNA. I like what I'm seeing, you know, post. This whole year, really, they've been doing some good stuff. The whole live thing, the open fight night's a good concept. Wasn't a bad night for me. As far as the Bound for Glory series matches that were that was done, I'm cool with that. But just that segment between Dixie and AJ culminated to this, and I'm like, okay. I mean, it wasn't as bad as the 10-10-10 angle that a lot of people know about a few years ago that just flops as far as the reveal to that. But it did just kind of it just kind of fall flat to me. Like, out of all these weeks and all of this suspense, and this is what you give me. So I wasn't a big fan of that. But overall, the qualities of the matches this week were pretty good. And of course, I was definitely a fan of the whole Aries doing the Option C and the whole X Division Championship getting really a swagger back, so to speak, and being just a premier championship in TNA. So I'm a big fan of that. And, of course, you know, Austin Aries is the man to me, my favorite wrestler in the TNA right now. Other than Sting, of course.
Yeah, man. Impact Rising. That's all I have to say. Nice. I mean, wow, for me, you know, because I was a TNA basher. I was the first to tell you. But, I mean, as for this summer, or, you know, spring going into summer, they've got me more interested, gotten better. I love the luck aspect of it now. That's always better. Love the Bound for Glory series and the point system. That's always fun. Rude and Aries doesn't get any better than that for me. I mean, that's awesome. There's actually a time when I really liked Hope D'Angelo, and I was watching him the other day, like, man, I was really into this guy. Like, what happened?
Yeah, same here.
And then I was looking at RVD and Jeff Hardy, and I tell you, I see some of those two wrestle, you know, superstar or wrestlers like that, and I think of their old WWE matches, and got me to thinking when I went to Invasion back in 2001.
Yeah.
That was WWF Invasion. I'm sorry, World Wild Fun, don't sue us here. got me thinking about that, so that's crazy. Those two have been battling forever. And then the last thing for me, Mickie James made a comment when they were backstage saying that she had accomplished the most out of all the knockouts in TNA, and I think she was right. Maybe Gail Kim is the only other one, but as far as I know, she's the only one that has won the Women's Divas and Knockouts title.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if Gail Kim ever won the Divas. I know she won the women's right. Like, when she first came, she won it, but I don't know.
Her very first match, she won the women's title.
Yeah, I don't. Okay, so I don't know if she's won the Diva, but I've never really thought about that. Like, wow, I guess she has won all three of the major championships for females in wrestling, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. Yep, you know, give it up to Mickey James for that. You know, it wasn't really embellished. It was the real deal, so... We'll go to ROH. We'll say a couple of, they had the actual TV show, and then they also had the Best in the World pay-per-view. On the TV show, they had Eddie Edwards defeating Brutal Bob Evans, and we saw a post-match attack by Bennett and Evans. Then Homicide comes back and saves Eddie Edwards and then turns on him. Jay Lethal defeats Chris Silvio. Post-match melee with Lethal, Strong, and Ciampa, Tommaso Ciampa. Then we saw Davey Richards and Kyle O'Reilly against Kevin Steen and Jimmy Jacobs. Then we saw that led to a no contest. Then we saw, I mean, overall, that was a pretty good setup for Best in the World. Then we saw the Best in the World pay-per-view, the Briscoes defeating Guardians of Truth, Homicide defeating Eddie Edwards, Adam Cole defeating Kyle O'Reilly. Then we saw Michael Elgin defeating Fit Finlay. Mike Mondo defeats Mike Bennett. Roderick Strong defeats Jay Lethal and Tommaso Ciampa. the All Night Express defeats wrestling's greatest tag team and becomes new champs. Kevin Steen defeats Davey Richards, and then he cuts. I actually saw the. It's been a lot of buzz, and there's and he cuts a crazy heel promo because he's been getting a lot of. And I actually saw the promo. He's been getting a lot of face pops recently. Just because he was David Richards. He made some interesting statements. It was a little. It was a little colorful, so to speak. But he did make some interesting points about the ROH fans turning on the world champions, and I've seen that actually. Tyler Black and Davey Richards were faces, and they just kind of fizzled out and kind of became some steel, kind of got some heel heat. But yeah, he pulled a crazy heel promo, and at the end of the day, was still getting cheers from the ROH drones in the crowd. But he kept trying, and eventually he got some heat. So obviously they want to keep him staying as a heel. And I'll tell you what, man. All Night Express, I know that wrestling's greatest tag team is your boys, but All Night Express, man, it's been a tough climb. I remember when they first aligned themselves together, I think it was about a couple years ago, and it's been a good climb for them, and I like that too. Same thing with Kevin Steen. Just I like the climb up to the titles. That's kind of something that's is kind of like a lost art as far as like making a steady climb to the titles. And lastly, Michael Elgin defeated Fit Finlay. I like Elgin. I like his whole thing, man. I'm an Elgin fan. His nickname is Unbreakable, and it's even sweeter, because he's that good. But I don't know, man. I'm a Fit Finlay fan, and Fit Finlay's just been there to really put over some talent during his tenure there, and I don't think he's won a single match actually. But yeah, I mean, just and then Homicide coming back, and he came back on the TV show, but he actually defeated Eddie Edwards, which was surprising to me because Eddie Edwards was on his big diehard, challenge of defeating competing against former champions, and so yeah, it was interesting. It was interesting to me to see this. A nice solid card, 8 matches, for a Ring of Honor pay-per-view, and it was good. So, Ring of Honor, I tell you what, man. Every week I say this, they impress me. They have what it takes to be a good to be a premier show. I'm glad that they have solid, popular TV exposure. Like I say just about every week, the production isn't that good, but as soon as that is enhanced, I can see them really doing some competition against TNA. Although I tell you what, TNA is starting to break out as the number two. And that's a surprise to say that, but ROH, they have some potential, and I'll continue to hold on to them.
Yeah, it's TNA and ROH are playing on a playground seesaw with me right now, and ROH was kind of up there, and it seems now ROH is more the fat kid, and TNA is kind of up there in the air a little more, so I don't know. But, yeah, that's amazing, though, for the internet to be all abuzz over Kevin Steen's promo, so I still need to check that out myself. But I... I think I have another favorite in ROH, and that'd be Maria. Like, and I mean, just for her character and her progression, like, Mm-hmm. She doesn't like this in WWE. So
no way.
It's amazing to see her actually out there working out and has me sold, and she makes Mike Bennett a little more of what he is, you know, mm-hmm. so she helps him out a lot.
Definitely.
So good to see her character on the up and up like that. Real mm-hmm. good.
Yep, I agree with you. I believe I mentioned it some weeks ago, and I'm with you on that. I think that it's really a blessing in disguise for her, because she was kind of green in the WWE, and she is really honed in her character on ROH. And I'll give it to her. She's been doing a good job, and like you said, she is that element of Mike Bennett that is needed. Now, Brutal Bob is, you know, good for Bennett, but the both of them makes it even better. So, all right, well, that is the programming that we had in the past week, and now we've got about 10 minutes, and we are going to go to the flavor of the week.
Yeah, it's Raw 1000, as we talked about a little earlier. The legends or past Raw participants showing up out of the blue and not knowing who it is. I like it. Like it a lot. So far we've had Piper, Foley, Vader, Sid Vicious. Just kind of throw Cindy Lauper in there. I don't know.
Yeah, Wendy Richter.
Yeah. Someone did make the, speaking of Lauper, someone did make a notice, point out that Heath Slater has been beaten up by two musicians this year. Cyndi Lauper, you know, the other week, and then Flo Rida at WrestleMania. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's Heath Slater's spot. But getting back to the flavor of the week. Okay, I like the Vader and Sid thing, because usually, you know, Piper, Foley, we respect them. Don't get me wrong by any means. We love these guys. But we see them on an average maybe two to three times a year, you know. But look at Sid Vicious. What'd they say? It's been 15 years to the
mm-hmm.
month. So
yeah.
That's why, for me, seeing Sid Vicious out there was amazing. Seeing Vader out there was amazing. Because these are guys you don't, I mean, we haven't seen them, what, since WCW days?
Yep.
That's pretty crazy. And then the fact that they're coming back and they're not just, you know, cutting a promo or in squash matches. They're actually wrestling matches. So that's pretty cool as well. People, I can't really think off the top of my head who I would want to see, but you did reference Rikishi. I know he's one I would definitely like to see on the actual 1000th episode or maybe before that. And but it'd be kind of tough for what I'd want them to do, because if you could have him on the 1000, I'd like for the Usos to win the titles and him be there to see that. But with impromptu name, R. Boom being the tag champs and primetime players being the number one contenders, you can't really write that up too quick. But I guess for me the main thing I would like to see, and I didn't think about this until now, is that I definitely would like to see them take at least 5 minutes and kind of honor the deceased wrestlers who have ever been on Raw or a part of Raw, you know, just it's a 3-hour show, so, you know, just a little respect, you know, just honoring those guys. I really can't think off the top of my head who I would want to see, but I wouldn't be opposed to seeing an Evolution one night only reunion. Those four in the ring, that'd be pretty cool.
Only if Ric Flair wasn't so bound by legal stuff right now.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to Scott Hall could get his stuff together to show up, you know, for the whole Click thing. That would be super awesome if he could just for one night be sober and get it together. I mean, that'd be great. There's a lot of cliques and factions that we'd all like to see, but yeah, maybe even the unions. Oh, R.I.P. to Tech.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh wow. The union. Yeah, that's he just kind of spoiled it for me because that's one of my flavors of the week. Not next week, but one of my a few weeks from now is going to be the worst factions in WWE history, and yeah, that's definitely one of them. So
yeah.
I actually wrote down five. Five people, well, four people on one team that I would like to see, and I was kind of just considering some people that was just along the ride during the Raw era back in the 90s and the 2000s. One would be Marty Jannetty. I definitely would want him to be there because. Just like Daniel Bryan's moment, him and Shawn Michaels just kind of laid the groundwork for Raw and had a really good match there. Kevin Nash would be another one. Had a really lackluster return last year and that awful ladder match. I believe it was at TLC in December, if I'm not mistaken. It was awful. It was so bad. But still, an appearance by him would be good. But if I'm not mistaken, Kevin Nash has cut his hair and is the whole silvery white deal. So I don't think that they would even bring him back for that. But, you know, just for the sake of Raw, you know, he would be good. Terry Funk would be another one. He was Chainsaw Charlie and him and Cactus Jack or Mick Foley was teaming together. I think that would be good to bring him back in some capacity. Actually, wouldn't be opposed to having him back as going against Heath Slater as one of the wrestlers. And then New Age Outlaws is another one. Road Dogg is actually an agent. He's actually signed with, as the listeners and everybody saw the Royal Rumble or knew about the Royal Rumble. Eventually, Road Dogg was a part of the Royal Rumble, and just a short time before that, he was actually signed as a road agent. So it was good to see him back and that in some type of form. And then Billy Gunn is still doing the indies, and of course they can bring him back one day. And then lastly, it would be X-Pac, actually. I think that since they're doing the rumored D-Generation X reunion, I don't see why they wouldn't want to bring back X-Pac, and then I guess the New Age Outlaws just kind of falls right into place in there too. I'd be okay with that. I definitely see, you know, I don't see why that wouldn't be a bad thing. I wouldn't be too opposed of one other. You talked about a faction. I was thinking about the Job Squad. But the only thing is Al Snow's with TNA now, and he's the leader of the Job Squad. So,
I can't believe I overlooked this one. Guy we haven't seen in years, who I'm sure everybody would love to see and should be there, maybe if his schedule permitting, Shane McMahon.
Shane-O would be great, absolutely.
Is his schedule permitting, but... I mean, that would be, I mean, you kind of got to have the McMahons there, you know, like it's there.
How about the Mean Street Posse?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Bring back the Mean Street Posse. Yeah. There's just a lot of people that you could think of, really. I mean, you know, from the Job Squad. I guess, you know, you got your Flash Funk and, you know, Blue Meanie and, you know, even the BWO. And, yeah, Taka Michinoku was another person around, you know, during the Raw era when they had, you know, lightweights. And Brian Christopher, you know, is another one, Scotty Too Hotty. So, yeah, I mean, I guess there's the more we think about it, the more there's a lot of options to really make it a – what's that?
It's so many memories, man. It's
definitely, man. You're right. It can go on for days.
I know they said that Did You Know was if you watched every episode of Raw for 24 hours every day straight, it would take over 75 days to see every episode. So
Wow. That
would be, I mean, that's a whole – That's a whole season and some change right there. So yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's I'm glad you brought that up. There is a lot, which segues into next week's Flavor of the Week topic. It is the biggest identity angles. So throughout. We saw a few in WWE that just kind of left us like, oh, okay, that was the end of that. I mean, that culminated into that, this big old angle. This is who the person is and this is who the culprit is and things like that. So I'm also going to bring some old WCW and NWA in there too. So biggest identity angles for the Flavor of the Week. Thank you so much for listening to us. Great show. And thank you for all supporting us. Follow us at Crave Wrestling on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Crave Wrestling. And, of course, if you have any ideas for the Flavor of the Week or any other things, we're going to have a trivia tournament coming up here to have the winner be the co-host along with Ryan and myself. So go to cravewrestling@gmail.com to register yourself in for the Crave Wrestling tournament and to be a co-host with us and be live on the air. So thank you so much for listening to us. And, of course, you know, we love your support. This is supported by you, and we definitely would love for you to continue to support us even financially through PayPal. Of course, the email address is cravewrestling@gmail.com. Check me on a Bleacher Report, feature columnist for Bleacher Report, Chris Featherstone. Write you know, 2 or 3 articles, sometimes 4 a week, and get a lot of hits and a lot of support there. So thank you so much for listening to us and continue to listen to us. Spread the word about Crave Wrestling. One last shout out to Eric Cross, the Pancakes and Power Slams theme song, and WrestleManiacs as a show sponsor. Have a great week, and we'll be here next week. Goodbye.